The top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Number five.
See, there he is right there.
It's a famous, Orion. He does already it. Making a contribution.
Exactly. All right, so there are a couple guys who had bad days in politics today.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to work their way out of things they said that maybe they shouldn't have said. Maybe they could have said it a different way than the way they said it.
Right.
Let's start with Ken Cuccinelli. Ken Cuccinelli used to be a politician in Virginia. Then after he left that, he went on to CNN. And he was an analyst for, you know, he was a conservative voice on the CNN panels.
Mm-hmm.
Which is how you end up getting a job in the White House, is that you audition well on cable news.
Yep.
And you got a
definite pattern there.
Right. And really, you can only appear on Fox or CNN because it doesn't seem like he's hiring a lot of people from the MSNBC.
He doesn't tweet about the MSNBCers that much.
Right. He doesn't have time.
Seems like he's got two screens that he's always watching.
Mm-hmm. So now Ken Cuccinelli gets a gig as the acting director of U.S. citizenship. I didn't realize there was a director of U.S. citizenship.
Hmm.
So now he's the acting director. So he was on NPR's Morning Edition, and he was talking about that regulation that's going to target legal immigration. Right? They're going to change the rules for legal immigration that if you are applying in and you don't have a specific set of skills, or if there's any concern that you are going to end up in on the public dole.
Right. You can't support yourself and don't have some sort of proof that you won't have to
right.
take any kind of public services to get on your feet.
That you're not going to reject
your mm-hmm. permanent citizenship.
Okay. And he said, if you're going to end up as the public charge, that would be a burden of government, and that that is the president just keeping his own promises.
Would you also agree that Emma Lazarus's words etched on the Statue of Liberty, give me your tired, your poor, are also part of the American ethos?
They certainly are. Give me your tired and your poor who can stand on their own two feet and who will not become a public charge. That plaque was put on the Statue of Liberty at almost the same time as the first public charge law was passed. Very interesting timing.
Although you mentioned the American dream is built on this idea that this is a place where you can come and
it's
build
part
a life.
Of it.
So there was a lot of yesterday in the news cycle, right? I mean, you probably saw this controversy,
sure.
And there was a lot of he's rewriting that poem, isn't he?
He's saying it's only about Europeans. Is the
wait?
The
hold
headlines.
On, no, hold on. Yes, but he was saying there
right.
that it's really just about the as long as you stand on your
charge.
Own 2 feet, as long as you're not going to cost us any dough, you can come in. That's not what it says, really. Emma Lazarus makes the point that give us your wretched refuse. That's what you need, the wretched refuse. Because the idea is that you're getting away. So he wanted to modify that. So he was on CNN this morning, and...
What do you think America stands for?
Well, of course, that poem was referring back to people coming from Europe where they had class-based societies, where people were considered wretched if they weren't in the right class. And it was introduced, it was written 1 year after the first federal public charge rule was written that says, and I'll quote it, any person unable to take care of himself without becoming a public charge, unquote, would be inadmissible.
I do think some of the headlines are a bit unfair. He was not saying that that poem refers only to Europeans, inferring that we should allow only Europeans into the country. He was trying to justify that the context that there were public charge rules then, and there are them now. Now, some people don't believe that the ones that the Trump administration are putting into effect are particularly good ideas or fair or right, and even other words they've described them with. But he was saying back then, it applied to mostly Europeans, which is true, isn't it? Isn't that true?
Well, they were coming in on the eastern side, yeah. It was mostly Chinese coming on the western side.
I just think there we have the context, and our listeners can hear the context. Some of the headlines, I think, were reduced to things that were unfair about what he was saying. It's not the best way to say it. Right?
No, I think in terms of trying to make a point,
right,
that the contextual point is that coming into Ellis Island and passing underneath the Statue of Liberty, it was primarily the majority of those people would have been coming from European shores. Yes, that's true. But that doesn't make it better. And especially since the theory here, the operating theory, and you have to stop and think about what the criticism of this has been, is that the president is being accused of not wanting non-white people to enter the country. And a lot of the anti-immigration rhetoric that has been happening throughout the world, not just here in the United States, but this is a big deal in Europe. This is a big deal in other parts of the world, in South America.
Sure.
This is being whipped up on the internet by people who are trying to create a crisis with immigration and make the immigrants the bad guys. Especially since there has been immigration throughout Europe. It was very successful politically. It scares people, and right, it's a good wedge issue for politicians who wish to take advantage of it. It appears to have a very, very, very high change rate, which is what they call it in politics, for voters, that they will switch to you if you take on that position. So that's really what's at stake here. So they're playing into this whole idea that it's not, you know, that when he says Europeans like that,
that's all that they want to admit.
Yes, it makes it sound like that. Now, whether he meant that from his heart,
I don't know.
It was probably intellectually something he should have thought not to say, because the context, if you're going to make the argument that he's taken out of context, try to make yourself into a position where you can't be taken out of context.
No, I'm just saying, when you boil it down to a headline, I think a lot of the headlines were misleading about saying that his point was that we only want Europeans. I'm not sure he was saying that. He was trying to say that this public charge rule makes a lot of sense, which you can agree with or disagree with, and a lot of people do disagree with it.
But when you come across, you're not immediately eligible. That is a political canard, that you're immediately eligible for public funding.
Right. That's right. There are rules in place already.
Yeah. So it's like, but the idea here, they're
right, he's sort of painting,
trying to vilify,
right,
a lot of what's going on here. A lot of the public policy is being driven by a political strategy, which the political strategy is to vilify the immigrants. And the problem that we have here is that we do actually need immigrants in this country for a number of reasons from all over the world. Some of them high skilled immigrants coming in, or people who we accept as students who get these incredible skills and they don't stay here. We'd like to retain them. And then there are people who are doing menial labor, stoop labor in the farming industry, or menial industry jobs.
Yeah, no question.
That
a lot of native borns will not do and show no interest in doing.
So we have to make a change in the economy for that at some point, one way or the other. Or you can make the argument, well, that'll all eventually be mechanized or computerized. And I'm not sure that's actually true. I mean, eventually you will have robots doing stoop labor.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, picking strawberries. Eventually. But we're not there yet. Call me when we're there. And then, God knows, then we're just all going to be, then a third of us are going to have to be executed just for the better good.
Oh,
and then we'll be fed to the people who are not, who didn't get executed.
Sounds very Hunger Games.
Yeah, I saw Soylent Green. All right, now, he's not the only guy having a bad day politically.
No.
Here, let's go to Iowa. Here's Steve King. Steve King, tell me how this one comes out of context for you. Here's Steve King, the congressman who, because he was saying such goofy things before, they stripped him. His own Republican colleagues stripped him of all of his committee assignments because he's such a goof. Here he is being, he was asked why he didn't support abortion rights for those who are the victims of rape or incest.
We know the reasons why. We don't accept exceptions for the most of us for rape and incest because it's not the baby's fault. But there's another thing. I started to wonder about this. What if it was okay, and what if we went back through all the family trees and just pulled those people out that were products of rape and incest? Would there be any population of the world left if we did that, considering all the wars and all the rape and pillage that's taken place and whatever happened in culture after society? I know I can't certify that they're not part of a product of that, and I'd like to think every one of the lives of us are as precious as any other life, and that's our measure. Human life cannot be measured. It is the measure itself against which all things are weighed.
Oh, jeez.
All right. Now, you can make an argument, right? I mean, if you are...
What argument?
If you're pro-life, he's making the compelling argument that it's, that he goes, well, it's not the baby's fault. And they could have just ended there.
Right.
But instead, he came out in favor of rape and incest, is basically what he did.
That's kind of just a part of human nature, and that's...
Just happened.
That just, you know, that's our population. We're thankful for it. What?
So one wonders, how does that... That may be a statement of fact, but how one wonders, now, how's that going to play for him politically?
Oh, gosh. What a bizarre thing to say.
Okay. So there you have it. Checking in at...
Number four.
News arose. Cardi B and Bernie Sanders discuss wages in the U.S. It's news. It actually happened. She posted an excerpt from their chat on Instagram.
Hey, what are we going to do about wages?
Good.
In America?
Good.
You know, when I was not famous, I just felt like no matter how many jobs I get, I wasn't able to get to make ends meet. Like, I wasn't able to pay my rent, get right. transportation, and eat.
That is an excellent and important question. Because right now, we have tens of millions of people who are earning what I consider to be starvation wages. Can you imagine somebody today earning $9 an hour?
It don't make no sense.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, there sounds like they really got along there. The Cardi B and the Bernie. Who would have thought?
I want to say one thing to you. I want to say that I do not understand how to make a ring sound.
Gosh.
I've been trying to do it, and I cannot make a
What's
like
next?
You can do Cardi B.
I think she should give him dance lessons. Wouldn't that be funny? Is she now part of the rounds that the politicians have to go to sit down with Cardi B now before they, you know, they start...
When I start to say you're okay, whatever it is, I literally cotton balls come out of my mouth.
Oh, gee.
All right, we're getting to your three, your two, and your one. But first, let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
The city's preparing for this weekend's Air and Water Show.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation. All right, Top 5-5 continues right here. We had a Sox game, so we went a little later with it today. We're up to...
Number three.
John Travolta stopped by Good Morning America to discuss his new film, The Fanatic, which shows him as an obsessed fan stalking a movie star.
Is Hunter Dunbar here tonight?
That's enough.
I need to get an autograph. Don't let him do this to me.
I'm a fan.
I'm a number one fan. Help! I just wanted an autograph. Wait! Wait!
John Travolta is going to be here on Monday.
Woo!
Discussing this movie.
How exciting is that?
How about that?
I just rewatched Grease because my daughter saw it for the first time, and I just remembered how amazing he was. Even then, like in the back in the beginning, it was wow.
That's true.
Such a talent.
As a star.
Number two.
I'm in love with Mary Jane. She's my main thing. She makes
Mike Tyson and I have something in common now. Now that I'm officially a pothead after smoking pot once in the last 30 years.
Go to L.A. and that's it.
Yeah. He's opening up his own marijuana-based resort and ranch. It's going to have a luxury resort. There will be an edible factory there, an amphitheater, a glamping campground, because you don't need to build rooms for potheads that, you know... Basically, a tent is good enough.
Glamping, though. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
High-end camping.
So, Mike Tyson, how often are you high?
Yo, what do we smoke a month? Is it 40,000 a month?
We smoke
40,000 a month.
We smoke 10 tons of weed at the ranch a month.
40 grand. Ain't that crazy? That's crazy.
Crazy. $40,000 worth of weed a month?
Yeah. But we throwing out, and the dispensary's like, what? Was it $500 a month? Well, I can't believe we doing this. I can't believe I'm talking to you smoking on the pocket. This is like a garbage. I was f***ed up before all this weed came. I was f***ed up, man.
Is that personally he's talking about?
That kind of sounds like an addiction, if you ask me.
I gotta just say, we're not ready for this in America or in Illinois. I saw it firsthand. We are not ready for what's about to happen here in the state of Illinois.
Mike Tyson should have had to testify at Illinois in the Springfield before they passed it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you, they would not have passed, because that's kind of what's going on out there.
Now I'm worried.
Number one.
All right, there's a zoo in North Dakota where there was a musicians set up an ensemble next to an orangutan exhibit, and they started playing. And then the orangutan got a hold of a recorder, which just proves how easy the recorder is to learn. It's the only instrument that anybody ever allowed me to play, the recorder. And the orangutan started playing along.
I'm so proud, because we know that he enjoys music. Obviously, this is how this all got started.
He's playing with the music right now.
Playing with the classical music right now. This is a joy. It's a joy to hear this.
Unbelievable. Yeah, actually, I didn't know what to expect. Yeah, I'm really amazed what he can do.
It's better than most second graders.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Better than you, bro?
Better than me.
Pretty impressive.
Yep. I got it.
Figured it out just like that.
Here's what I'd like. I'd like to send the orangutan to the glamping site at the Tyson Ranch and see if the orangutan wants to go the other way with the pipe. See what happens. And if you're stoned, you think that's great music, too, which is really nice.
It's amazing.
It's kind of a good thing that's going on there. All right. I think it's time really to close this thing up.
Let's do it.
The top five at five.